7 minutes past 11 here on Waiheke Radio. You're on Island Life. I'm Chris, with you through until noon. And it's time to talk to, well, normally we talk to two opinionated islanders, Alan Knight and Alex Stone. Alan's away, so Alex is flying solo today with me here in the studio. Good morning to you, Alex.
Yeah, Chris, I'll have opinions enough for two today.
Yes, I've got no doubt about that.
I hope I'll have the same kind of opinions as Alan.
Well, who knows? That's dangerous thoughts, I think.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have a chat about the state of media on Waiheke, because it's been an interesting year, 2008, media-wise, with papers going through, I suppose, a bit of a state of flux.
Yeah, now, there's the media scene on Waiheke just intrigues me greatly. The idea of a community of 6,000 or 8,000 souls and then 20,000 over Christmas, and having three newspapers, well, one newspaper and two freebies to service it on a weekly basis, just seems like extraordinary that there is so much media in such a small place. Yeah.
Do you read all three?
No, sorry. I look at some you can't help seeing because they scattered all over the ferry, like as much like like carpet tiles or wallpaper or something, and you see them being taken out, read, and thrown away, which bugs me a bit for the waste of paper. So I see the front page of the freebies, but I'm really impressed with the front story on the marketplace this week, the one about the pine that was poisoned.
Yes, the poisoned pine, and who knew Briar Ross is now a staunch advocate of the image of Waiheke. I did notice in the story that she lived in the area, and I wondered if it had more to do with the fact that it was maybe directly in the view from her lounge window.
Yeah, probably.
And she was concerned about that. But
I'm surprised the story has taken so long to surface, because that tree started going brown, what, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe more. And we noticed it on the ferry and wondered, a lot of us wondered what the problem was with that pine tree. And then after a while, it became, as it went a sort of deep russet color, it looked like a Puhutukawa in full bloom. It had the color, But then I thought, if Doc is going to poison the tree, why didn't I just leave it alive at least for Christmas and string some lights on it? That could have been quite a nice touch. A last fling for the tree before chopping its head off.
Yeah, I can't say I have a lot of sympathy for retaining a pine tree. I mean, those things are just a menace.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, if you've seen the scourge of wilding pines down in the South Island, it's a good thing to chop it out, But good firewood. I wouldn't complain if I was one of the neighbours. Just get rid of it. And there's plenty of other trees, They're beautiful Puhutukawas, and there's a whole lot of new bush growing up on that headland. I think we can do with one less pine.
Yeah, I think we can cope. Now, that's on the front page of the marketplace, and we were just talking before we came on air about the differences between the papers, of course, and you were commenting about the letters to the editor.
Yeah, that's always, for me, the telling point about any value of any media outlet is whether people treat it as their own. And I think the Gulf News are probably biased in this respect. But I think the
Gulf News... Yeah, it should be noted that Alex does write a column in the Gulf News.
But I think the Gulf News still holds an edge there, because it is the one paper that people are prepared to pay for, and people still do. I mean, a huge number of Waihikians, pay for it, which I don't think anyone would ever pay for the other two. And also I think that's just because people got used to getting them for free, But the one thing that shows that a community paper is a real community paper is the way it works as a dialogue. And the Gulf News has, twice as many letters every week than the other two. Yeah,
well, sometimes you can be up to page, 15 or 16, and
you're still
going with the letters. And they never seem to actually exercise their right to edit them.
Yeah, well, I think that's... part of their stance is that they give everybody an airing as fulsome and as eccentric as it may be. There is a community board member who seems to be incapable of writing a short letter. And and they're quite amusing, really.
So we've got the letters to the editor as an indicator of community. I suppose, is it that the other papers aren't really focused on community? Is it that they're focused on the visiting market?
Yeah, I'd say that. They talk about their their readership, but they can never prove that. It's a given in publishing that freebies can never really claim a true readership figure, whereas the Gulf News has an ABC audited figure and has had for many, many years. But the two freebies certainly are read mostly, I would say, by visitors. And to that extent, maybe they give the visitors something of an impression of the island. But then I think they might also be giving the visitors a slightly skewed impression of the island.
Yeah, well, I suppose all of those real estate pictures in there are very luxurious houses.
They
certainly create an image of Waiheke, which is quite different from the way that I live my life.
And you know, all of the bullshit that goes with real estate advertising is always quite amusing. The one thing I was thinking of would be an interesting addition to media on the island is, how about a town crier? You know, that would fit with the Waiheke look, the whole ethos of Waiheke. So imagine some bloke at the marketplace on Saturday morning. Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! Hear ye! Hear ye! I've got the latest gossip. And if he could tell you straight, without having to go to printing inks and printing presses and distribution and wasting paper, he could tell you straight. So if for instance, you know, we're just talking about the real estate pages, you know, the real estate pages might tell you that a house was absolute elegance. I'm reading here. A charming, relaxed atmosphere, absolutely private setting, sea views and sunsets, three bedrooms. But the town crier would probably know that that house is actually a moldy old place covered by bush. The sea view is behind the leaf of a terreary tree. And the charming, relaxed atmosphere means the place is actually just about to fall down. And the neighbors are wacko to boot. And, you know, the town crier could give you that human touch, you know.
I always like the descriptions like postage stamp view.
And there's one tucked away in a valley.
Yeah, and the other thing is where you get the photos, and if you look closely, there's a little disclaimer down the bottom of the photos, you know, that says something like view from roof, or my favorite one, where you get the picture of the beach and it goes 400 meters from this beach.
Yeah, not that you can see it. There's a nice one. Calms the soul. Feel enveloped by the greenery and serenity of this bush location.
I.e. never see the sun.
And also that you'd be knee-deep in mud, you know, be like the set of the piano after a while. But, yeah, all good stuff. They're great great pictures, you know.
Now, given that the two freebies are, you know, we think probably aimed predominantly at the visitor market, it's interesting that the Waiheke Week decided to take a break at the island's busiest visitor period.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to discuss, because I've just said that I think they're read mostly by visitors, but I would wager that both of them consider themselves to be servicing the locals. You know, I'm sure they think they're local papers, but it's probably just a fact that they're read more by visitors than by locals. The marketplace, I think, does a good job of doing local stuff. Yeah, and the strong story about the pine on the front page, and then a great story about James Higgins, ex-pupil of Waiheke High, on the inside front cover. You know, that's all good stuff, yeah. Mm.
And my experience this year writing releases for the station has been that it's been the Waiheke Week who have done the most journalism in terms of following up on stories and writing their own take on it.
Oh, well, there you go.
So we've got a pretty mixed bag in there.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any impact on the marketplace since their takeover by Fairfax? Now they've become part of the big multinational media conglomerate.
Yeah, I haven't seen any difference in its look. It does appear pretty thick at the moment, and I think the look was changed for the better. Or about 3 or 4 years ago, when Eve Robinson was the graphic designer, she changed the look and made it very professional. Before that, it didn't look all that flash, but I think it was her job, her work, that made it look so good, and they've carried on with that, yeah. Mm. Now, the printing's pretty good too. The pictures are crisp and sharp and so on. No, it's all good.
Now, of course, the papers are only one aspect of the media here on the island. We have a thriving media scene. We've got radio stations. We've got Waihikipedia.
Yeah, I think Waihikipedia is a good thing. And I think we've also got the old-style media, you know, joking about the town crier. But I think there's plenty good old-fashioned gossip on the island. That still works. That's really our living, breathing media, I would say. And the other part of, you know, the spoken media that really impresses me is the strength and success of the Storytelling Center. Tanya just does a fantastic job of that. And, you know, I'd be along there if they had more adult stories, you know. Maybe I think I've heard all the kiddie stories before. Maybe if you could give me some more salacious stories, I'd be there like a shot. But I've seen crowds of kids, and I think that's a fantastic initiative.
Mm. You were talking before about Waihikipedia and its impact on the local scene and as a way of sharing info.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I'd like to know how many listings they have at the moment. But
I think they recently had their 300th page go up.
That's great. And obviously all the pages are being updated as you go, so there's a lot of work going into it. Mm-hmm. And I think the residents could get more behind it and put more into it. You know, there's so many interesting characters on this island. I reckon interesting people each need their own listings, you know. Yeah.
The gossip element that we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Do you think that arises from the fact that we've got that commuter community, which is going back and forth, and they're all in the same place at the same time?
Yeah. But I think what we need to do with our gossip is to cross boundaries. It really worries me that we're starting to become two or three communities in one place, and then at this time of the year we've got the addition of all the visitors, which is another community again. And I'd like our gossip to cross boundaries. I'd like us all to make a real effort to talk to people outside of our normal little group. I've been making the effort myself, you know. Just yesterday I spotted some young fellas, obviously visitors, roaring around Putiki Bay in a jet ski. And I paddled up to the – I'm carbon neutral when I'm on the water, by the way – paddled up to the big launch that was their mothership and offered to provide them with some sugar for the tank of the jet ski. And I was just trying to reach out across communities, you know?
Yeah, reaching out. I used to rent a place up on a cliff top and sometimes, you know, the big boats are parked down the bottom and there'd be all-night parties, and I used to try to reach out. It was normally with a tennis racket and a couple of rocks.
Shut up! It's time now! I noticed a very interesting little element of reaching out. Just the other day, I was a bloke who looks a lot like me. He looks very much like me. Anyway, this bloke was walking down the beach to Palm Beach, and he noticed a string of big, shiny 4x4s, which I recognized as not being island cars. And they were all there, probably had driven 50 yards to get to the beach, but they're all parked along there. And this bloke who looks like me, he's got this hobby. With his finger, he writes in the dust on the door, he writes the simple message, peak oil, on the door. This is reaching out, this bloke who looks like me. But what was really interesting is the next day when you walked down, the same vehicles were there and the same bit of dust was on the door, but the message had been carefully rubbed out. So the owners had obviously read the message and then decided to do something about it, which was obliterated. So the message had got through, whether in a positive or otherwise way is a moot point, but the message had got through.
There does seem to be a distinct difference, doesn't there, between visitor cars and local cars. Yeah. You can spot them a mile off.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, it's hardly a hobby. You know, spotting the visitors, you know, it's all too easy, yeah. But no, I wish them well. I think they mostly have been well-behaved this year. Just a couple of things, you know, and they're all the usual things, the jet skis and the jaywalking in Onaroa and the three deep at Waiheke Veg. They're there, and the way they, you know, the bottleneck at the aisles in the supermarket, they're all there in the same old way, but mostly been pretty well behaved, I think.
And pretty amusing as well. I've taken great delight at seeing people walking around in their togs and Onaroa.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Yeah. You know, it's the main street, but there they go.
Don't you get itchy and chafy? Yeah, the one thing that really intrigues me is I think the visitors, bless their socks, seem to overdo, we're on Waiheke, now let's relax. We're in a show, we're totally relaxed. And it takes the form of jaywalking on the main street. They think they can just step out because the Waihikians are so cool that they're not going to fuss anyway. So one has to watch out for that, yeah. And the other element of the visitor psychology that really intrigues me is the little posses of motorbikes, always led by an alpha male, you know, and the little scooters. there's always a bloke out front, and he always does these U-turns to go round up the stragglers. And they're a driving hazard. You've got to watch out for those guys doing the unexpected U-turns.
At least they all seem to be coming in bright yellow now.
Yeah. No, that's good, yeah.
A nice safe colour.
Yeah.
And so we can keep out of their way.
Yeah.
Of course, where would we be without them? You know?
Yeah, no, I think it's bad form to be negative about the visitors. I think they're an essential part of our ecology, basically. And we just got to know that they come and welcome them when they do, you know. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, even if it is writing messages in their car.
No, that's. I think that's done in the, you know, this bloke who looks like me, he might have the wrong end of the stick there, but it's just basically reaching out, just try to get a message out there to say, these are our values on Waiheke. And it's not necessarily a negative message, it's just a thoughtful message, shall we say.
A thoughtful message. There we go. There's the opinionated islander, Alex Stone, on his lonesome today, giving his opinions on media and the influx of visitors to our island over the summer period. Thank you for joining us this morning, Alex.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
And Alex will be back next month with his cohort, Alan Knight, here on Island Life on Waiheke Radio.